It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Thursday, February 7th. I'm Jay Gabler, and in a little bit, I'll be telling you about a huge new album by an artist who's not playing the Grammys.
Yeah, there are a number of artists who are not playing the Grammys. Kendrick Lamar, Childish Gambino, and Drake all announced that they are definitely not performing. People don't even know if they're going to show up. But we will be talking about Grammys in great detail tomorrow for a special episode. We're even bringing in our Grammys statistician on staff. So you'll get all the details, the ins and outs tomorrow for a very special episode. Today, we're going to be checking out a bunch of new music. Get you excited about what's the latest in the music world.
First, a few headlines. In 1979, Michael Jackson and George Harrison went into a studio together, known not to collaborate on music, for a joint interview on the BBC.
How cool.
I know. That's one of those things where it's like, I guess I knew that Michael Jackson and George Harrison existed in the same universe for some number of years, but you never really think about what would they talk about? And what an interesting point in history, too. 1979, George Harrison is very much on the downswing commercially at that point, and Michael Jackson is on his meteoric way up from, you know, he started high and he was about to become world-beating. So a really interesting point in history exactly 40 years ago, which is why we're talking about this right now. So according to NME, the two artists went on Radio 1, quote, to review new releases, this gets even better, from the likes of Foreigner, Nicolet Larson, and the Blues Brothers, and to share some of the stories behind their own songs. So the audio was thought to be lost, but the BBC has discovered a usable recording, and it's the basis for an hour-long special called When George Met Michael, airing this Saturday, February 9th on the BBC to mark the 40th anniversary of the original broadcast. Pledge Music has temporarily put all crowdfunding donations on hold after admitting to being late on getting payments to artists.
So what does that mean? If you're a crowdsourcing, what are you spending this money on other than taking the money in and giving it back to the artists?
Exactly. I mean, it sounds like a real cash flow issue because, you know, as a tech company, I'm sure you do have all sorts of diffuse expense needs. You've got your development costs, you've got your payroll, you've got your administration costs, and I don't know if there's ever a point where they have enough capital they're investing in. Who even knows? But they've been taking longer than they intended to get payments to artists. Artists were complaining. There was a report in Billboard, and in response to that report, Pledge Music said, Pledge Music is working tirelessly on this issue, and we are asking our community for their continued support and patience. And now they've stopped taking donations indefinitely, I guess, until they get this issue worked out.
Wow. So what does that mean for artists that haven't gotten their money yet? They just maybe they won't get paid?
I'm presuming that they are committed to paying artists money they have taken in. But if this is going to be a big cash flow issue, maybe they feel like they need to stop taking donations so that they don't have artists coming to them saying, listen, you're taking money from our fans. Where's the money on our end? This way they can kind of like put a pause on it until they can get these issues figured out, get a loan, do whatever they need to do. It sounds like a big mess. And I'm thinking about the artists who are affected, artists who have ongoing crowdfunding campaigns. In some cases, artists record the album and then they crowdfund it so that they can recoup their expenses and, you know, prepare marketing distribution strategies. So artists as big as Sarah Bareilles, Insane Clown Posse, Ladytron, diverse group of artists, but all pretty big names, you know, are kind of waiting until this all gets sorted out, or they might have to move to other platforms. Izzy Young has died at age 90. You might not recognize his name or even the name of the Greenwich Village shop he ran in the early 60s, the Folklore Center, but you probably recognize the names of some of the artists he booked there. It's the venue where Joni Mitchell was discovered, it's where Peter met Mary before they found Paul, and it was the site of the first New York City concert by Bob Dylan after he moved from Minnesota. Dylan wrote about Young in his memoir, writing, quote, his voice was like a bulldozer and always seemed too loud for the little room. Izzy was always a little rattled over something or other. He was sloppily good-natured, in reality, a romantic. To him, folk music glittered like a mound of gold. It did for me, too. Here's Bob Dylan playing at the Folklore Center in those early years.
Now, on that very ground, on that very
Yeah, she's not playing at the Grammys. We won't even get into that beef. But Ariana Grande is still dominating music world conversations this weekend as she prepares to drop her fifth studio album, Thank You, next. The LP comes less than 6 months after her last full-length, Sweetener, which awkwardly celebrated her love for past fiancé Pete Davidson. Grande didn't take long to switch the script, and she's already had two chart-topping hits with tracks that are appearing on the new album, including the title track and Seven Rings, which is sitting on top of the Hot 100 right now. It seems like everyone has a think piece about how Ariana Grande's ever-rising star seems to define her generation, and on Friday, we'll be able to hear how the whole album holds up.
LCD Sound System has always been a band that happily acknowledged their influences, whether directly in the lyrics or by sonic illusion. For their third live album, the band went to Jimi Hendrix's iconic Electric Lady Studios in Manhattan and laid down 12 songs, including live versions of their own songs, plus some covers of their favorite bands, Heaven 17, Chic, and Human League. It's raw and riotous, just jangly enough for you to feel like you're sweating in the front row and screaming along. Check out James Murphy and LCD Sound System covering Heaven 17's We Don't Need This Fascist Group Thing.
Prolific Bob Mould is adding a 14th studio album to his discography, and that's in addition to his work with Husker Du and Sugar. Sunshine Rock has Mould hitting the studio with his sturdy live band and sounding a lot of positive notes. In a thumbs-up review, Pitchfork writes, using the great ball of fire in the sky as his lyrical lodestar, Mould has written an album that pulsates with positivity, even during occasional moments of melancholy. Here's the title track to Sunshine Rock.
For today's viral pick, it is a very cool return of an artist that you may have grown up loving so, so much, an iconic R&B star. I'm talking about Marvin Gaye. The album You're the Man, it's going to be out March 29th. That's 4 days before what would have been Marvin Gaye's 80th birthday. It's going to be 17 songs long, but for right now, all we have is one single track. But it is so heartwarming and wonderful in this cold winter to be able to hear Marvin Gaye's voice again. This one is called My Last Chance.
I think this is my last chance. My last chance.
And thanks to Marvin Gaye's estate for dropping that track so that our viral clip today did not have to involve a transformer grabbing his crotch. Join the Current Music News group on Facebook to find out what that's all about. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Jade is also our producer today. We'll be back tomorrow with a special episode previewing this weekend's Grammys.